Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality.
As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.
Lord Jesus Christ, merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly, day by day. Amen. If you got this week's email, you will have seen a poster for a lay ministry taster day next Saturday, the 27th of January. The taster day is part of the season of lay ministry that we're celebrating in the Diocese of Southwark. Now, you might be wondering, what is lay ministry and what is the season of lay ministry? Is this just a coded way of saying, please sign up for more of the rotas at the back of the church, we'll just get your name as you leave today? Or is it a thinly veiled appeal for more money for the church? Well, it's neither, in fact. On this occasion, the Diocese of Southwark, that's the church's authority which oversees parishes, wants to offer training opportunities to us, and they are free. The diocese wants to encourage us to think about how God might be calling us, and specifically whether God is calling us into one of the lay ministries in the church, either as a reader like myself, all dressed up today, pastoral work, pioneer, children, or youth. So what does lay mean in this context? The word lay comes from the Greek word laos, meaning people. It means people who are not ordained priests. In fact, the percentage of priests in the church is very tiny. It's only about 2%. And the percentage of people in lay ministry, like myself, is only about 2.5%. So there are not an awful lot of us, really. Maybe that's why the church wants to encourage more of you to look at lay ministry. But we are all called by God, whether into ordained ministry or into lay ministry, in countless different ways, both in the church and outside. When the Apostle Peter wrote to the newly formed churches in modern Turkey, Syria, and Iraq, he called them a chosen people. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. We are all called to be the people of God. We all have a ministry to love and serve the Lord. And that's what I want to spend a few minutes thinking about, calling and ministry. God calls each one of us to follow him. How does God call you? How do you even know he's calling? Last week, Bridget talked about the calling of Samuel. Samuel needed Eli, the priest, to help him understand that he was being called by God. Eli told Samuel to say to God, "Speak, for your servant is listening." So what the story of Samuel shows us is that God's calling is often unexpected, and we don't necessarily recognize that small inner voice as from God. We need help from others to understand what God is saying to us, and we need to listen. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he called people to follow him. In Mark 1, Jesus saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into a lake and said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." That's at least a direct calling, command even. But what could they have imagined that calling would be like? We don't always know what Jesus is calling us to do, but he is asking us to trust him, as those first disciples did by the Lake of Galilee. And when we read the stories of Jesus, we see how people are called to a new life through encountering Jesus. Try to read these stories as if you're there too, that you could feel it, you could touch it, you could smell it. If you remember the story of the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4, Jesus knew her without her having to tell him anything at all. Was she thirsty for something? She knew she'd had a checkered past life, but that did not stop Jesus offering her water, which would become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. We might have a mighty revelation like St. Paul, or a direct call like the disciples, but for most of us, God's call is calmer and quieter. If we want to hear what God is calling us to do in our lives, we have to take time to pray, to take ourselves aside as Jesus did, to contemplate. Sometimes we have a dream of what we might like to do. We might have a strong nudge that we're called, but we have no idea what it means. And at these times, we need to give ourselves to prayer, to talk to other people in our congregation, in our families, see if they can help understand what is happening. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. But then when we have heard God calling, it's time to respond, to grow into the person God is calling us to be. Time to act. Whatever actions we take will be a form of ministry. Calling and ministry, prayer and action. They are not opposing, both are necessary. Which leads me to talk about ministry and the story of Mary and Martha. You might think that by choosing this passage from Luke, I'm commending lots of quiet study and the lay ministry training as the best way to respond to God's call. You might think that Jesus is commending the contemplative Mary over the workhorse Martha. Now, this interpretation would suit me very well because I really don't do much about the house in terms of preparing meals. And when I'm busy studying or when I'm preparing a sermon or whatever I'm doing, staring into space probably, my husband is patiently bringing me food and beverages and chocolate, lots of chocolate, at all times just to keep me going. So he sees himself as the Martha, and I'm busy being the Mary. But that's not what it's all about. This is not the correct interpretation, however much I would like it to be so. There is no action without contemplation, or contemplation without action. We are all called to do and be both. We can be and we can do. Both these women were pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. They were both loved him. And if you want to know more about Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus, I really recommend you this little book called Transforming Love, How Friendship with Jesus Changes Us. And it talks about all the passages of Mary and Martha, not just this one today. And you'll get a real picture of how to be friends with Jesus. So I really recommend that. We all have a variety of gifts and talents, which only we can bring to ministry. And that's exactly what Paul is telling the Roman community. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us: prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, showing mercy. We have different functions within the church community, but these functions are all needed for the body of Christ to work. It's really important that we affirm and celebrate our different gifts and our different ministries, and there are so many. It's a marvelous experience coming into church before the service and seeing so many people doing things in the church, setting up the coffee, setting up the books, setting up the IT, setting up the altar. The flowers have already been done. So many things, hearing the band playing. It's the most wonderful feeling coming very early to church, believe it or not, and seeing all these people with their different ministries in a loving and a giving way. There are many people involved in ministry in the church. We mustn't forget our administrator, our church wardens, PCC, our house groups, food bank, prayer leaders, our vicar and curate. All these people using their talents and exercising ministry already. This season of lay ministry could just be about thanking God for the abundance of talents, and it is. But it's also a time to see if God is calling you to do something new, something to help you grow into your fuller self, to think about what God may be nudging you towards. Are there gaps in what the church is offering? Could you fill that gap? Have you always wanted to be involved with the music or the prayer life of this church? If so, don't keep it to yourself. Talk to people in the church. I love talking, so do come and talk to me. Do talk to people. There are plenty of great people in this church to talk to. Talk over coffee. Talk over supper. Be brave and go to the lay ministry taster day. And if you do, you'll meet my friend Julie. She's a trainee pioneer reader. She's very pioneer because she's training to be a reader, but she doesn't want to do the preaching or the leading. She wants to do the pioneer work in the community. So she's training to go into prisons. There's just lots, lots of possibilities. Master Eckhart said, "And suddenly you know, it's time to start something new and trust the magic of beginnings." So I want to say something just to few words about my own journey to see if it resonates with any of you and whether it might encourage you as well. So like Bridget, I was very happy from a very early age being in church. My parents didn't really go to church, but we had neighbours. And so from the age of about 4 or 5, I went to the St. Mark's Presbyterian School, Sunday school. And I really loved it. And I felt really safe there. I felt valued. And I felt a part of something. And one of my treasures is the book I was given when I was promoted from primary department to junior department. And I'm 7. And it's quite extraordinary, a church hymnary. Why on earth would you give a 7-year-old a church hymnary with lots of small print and long words? However, it's really precious to me. That's part of my Christian background. As I grew older, there were people in the church who were encouraging me. As I've said before, Conway, who's sitting over there, was one of our youth leaders. He was encouraging. He doesn't remember me, so I think that might be a good thing. But The vicar was really encouraging. I don't ever think I was asked to read the gospel in church like Alex has done today, but I think this is really great to have people of all ages, because calling comes at any age. It's not an age-related phenomenon. So through my life, I've been involved in churches, and in my 40s, I haven't quite got there, June. In my 40s, I had a little look at myself, and I saw I was on 7 different rotas. I started a women's group, which was mostly for my benefit, because we did things like having silent prayer, which really scared an awful lot of people. I'd been part of an Alpha course that was for the churches in Blackheath. I'd done all sorts of things. Just felt that there's more. There's something else I want to do. And then I felt what I call the holy shove. And the holy shove came in a moment on Palm Sunday. So at that time, I was in a high church, and the priest, Father Bergen, some of you may remember him, was very large, right? So very large and big black cloak. So it's Palm Sunday, it's going to be a procession. He's got his beretta on. Someone carrying the cross is behind him, and then behind him are two readers. I thought about reader ministry, but I thought there are already 3 people who are readers in this church. They're all about my age, but they're all men. I thought, what have I got to give? That's not right. I went to a vocations day? No, didn't know. But that morning, as the procession went down the aisle, I saw Father Bergen here, and then I saw the crucifer, and then I saw the readers and the other reader, and then I saw a gap. In this procession, there was a gap. And that gap said to me, that's your place. You can bring something. You're not better than the other readers. You're different, not just because you're female, you're different. You will bring different talents. Unfortunately, that holy shove hasn't stopped, and for some bizarre reason, I've gone back into training. I'm now in my 2nd year at St. Augustine's, and that's really unbelievably hard work. But again, I think it's part of me trying to discern what it is that God is calling me to do. We all have a unique ministry. It's about growing into your ministry and your vocation, fulfilling your potential. It's about offering service to others. It's about being in relationship, in community with God. So wherever you are, whatever stage of life you're in, please bring your gifts. No one else can bring those gifts. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And so just for a few moments, I'd like us to be in stillness. And Tim is just going to play something very gently. And I want you to ask yourself, what skills do I have to bring to the service of God? What gap could I fill in this church, this community, in the service of God?